Hi, welcome to Speaking of Sex with the Pleasure Mechanics. I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We are the Pleasure Mechanics, and on this podcast, we give you honest, expert sex advice so you can level up your pleasure in and out of the bedroom. This episode is brought to you by Cocoon, a new web browser that gives you absolute privacy and security. Go to getcocoon.com/edu to download the browser for free so you can stop worrying about your online privacy once and for all. You can find a complete podcast archive at pleasuremechanics.com. And while you are there, go to pleasuremechanics.com/free and sign up for the Erotic Essentials so we can deliver our best sex advice straight to your inbox and give you actionable items to get you started on the path to pleasure right away. In today's episode, we are going to be picking up on a topic we began last episode when we were talking about simultaneous orgasms. And in that discussion, which you should definitely go check out, the topic of multiple orgasms came up and how to achieve multiple orgasms for men versus women. And we realized that while we've touched on this topic, we've never dedicated a full episode to unpacking the idea of multiple orgasms. And we want to give you things to try and ideas to explore if you want to experience multiple orgasms for yourself. So that's what this episode's going to be all about. And you may have noticed we had a sponsor for the first time in over 260 episodes. We are now bringing on sponsorships to help support this podcast and the work we do here at Pleasure Mechanics. But you can get an ad-free version of every podcast episode going forward by joining our Patreon. Patreon.com is a platform that allows us to gather our closest community and deliver you exclusive content like ad-free versions of the podcast, bonus episodes, community discussions, and more, while also just being in discussion with you and community with you and allowing you to support our work with a monthly pledge. So we're asking our listeners, if this podcast has made a difference to you and you want to be part of our online community, go to patreon.com/pleasuremechanics and pledge $5 a month, and that gets you in the inner circle. We have a great group gathering already. We've started a book club for Esther Perel's new book, The State of Affairs, and Esther has agreed to be on the podcast, which I'm so excited about. So you can be part of all of those discussions and show your support for this show by going to patreon.com/pleasuremechanics. That's patreon.com/pleasuremechanics and pledge $5 a month and get ad-free podcasts and so much more. Okay, on with the show. Multiple orgasms. There's a common idea that if one orgasm is good, then multiple orgasms must be better. And this is part of the thinking that starts creating an orgasm hierarchy. And we want to say right from the beginning of this episode that no orgasm is better or worse than another. It's all just an experience. Right.
Yeah, it's so important. So many people think that more is always better, and that can be true in some situations, but with orgasms, we feel like it's so important to take each of them as they come, if you will, that they are all equal and that each experience is its own and is perfect. So it's so important not to think that multiple orgasms are better than any other orgasms.
Well, I don't know if orgasms are equal to one another, because we've all had orgasms that really knock our socks off and leave us super satisfied and feeling just really amazing. And then sometimes there's an orgasm that feels more like a sneeze, and it's almost just a more of like a muscular release. Mm. So I don't want to set up that orgasms are equal, but I think the idea is that there's not a hierarchy of orgasms that you need to achieve. You don't need to strive for anything, because inherently this puts pressure on your sexual experience and creates a sense of stress, which then shuts down arousal and makes orgasms even harder to come by. And so I think it's more, how many times can we make orgasm puns? I think the real idea here is that each erotic experience needs to stand on its own, and it's kind of an adventure, a journey. You never know where you're going to go. And you can develop skills to start exploring different erotic experiences.
Intentionally.
And it's not about being better or worse. It's not about performance. It's about deliberately cultivating your sexual experience and getting to know what your body likes. Because as we'll be exploring in this episode, and as we explore in every episode, everyone's sexuality and sexual arousal system works a little bit differently, and your sexuality changes over time. And so if you can approach it with an attitude of curiosity and an open-ended excitement about what you might discover your body is capable of, that's just a better attitude to go into than this, like, striving, judgmental, I'm going to have multiple orgasms, damn it, or I'm going to give my woman multiple orgasms because then that means I'm a good lover, right? So much of it is about attitude. And we can admit that certain erotic experiences are better than others. We have good days and bad days. Some days our body just doesn't cooperate and our mind goes in with its agenda and our body's just not catching up with it. And we need to just be soft with that and not put pressure on ourselves to perform in any one direction. So multiple orgasms usually are discussed as a female-bodied experience. People with vulvas and clitorises are capable of multiple orgasms, and men, people with penises, are not. And this is just simply not true. Every body can experience multiple orgasms. The trick is, to experience multiple orgasms, you need to separate ejaculation from orgasm. And most men have been taught and trained and experienced orgasm and ejaculation as a simultaneous event. But some guys, if they started masturbating before they started ejaculating, you might be able to remember a time when you could have multiple orgasms. Because your body wasn't ejaculating yet, a lot of young boys experience this pleasurable cascade of orgasms. But it then slips away from memory as ejaculation sets in and you get into your habits of ejaculatory orgasms. Isn't that interesting?
That is fascinating.
And some women experience multiple orgasms very easily and can just flow from one orgasm into the other. Some women struggle to have any orgasms at all. So I think we need to take the gendered language out of this and just explore it as a skill set that anyone can intentionally devote time and energy and practice to in order to explore their body's capabilities to have this specific erotic experience. And if you don't want multiple orgasms, if it's fun for you to just really build up and have one big orgasm, great. If you don't want to have orgasms at all, fine, do your thing. I really want to take the pressure off of this. Just like in our discussions around female ejaculation, it's one erotic experience you can have. It's not more enlightened. It's not better than non-ejaculatory orgasms. There's no hierarchy. These are just experiences. Okay, so what do I mean about separating ejaculation from orgasm? There's a strong cultural myth that for people with penises, you have an orgasm and you ejaculate all in the same moment. The truth is, these are two separate biological events. Ejaculation is one physiological process that happens, and orgasm is another one. In the male body, orgasm often triggers ejaculation because orgasm is defined by a spontaneous contraction of the pelvic muscles, and this contraction often squeezes the prostate and the seminal vesicles and propels the ejaculation out of your body. So most guys, when they masturbate, when they have sex, they build up tension towards an orgasmic climax. They have the contractions of an orgasm, and this propels ejaculation out of their body. ejaculation sets off what's called the refractory period. And this is that cascade down where after an ejaculation, you feel sleepy and no further stimulation of the genitals creates more arousal. And in fact, touching the genitals might make it feel too sensitive or annoying, and you just kind of want to roll over and go to sleep. This is the refractory period. And it's, again, more commonly talked about with men, but women experience it too, which is how we got to this topic last week.
Right. Our listener had written in and said that she was experiencing the refractory period, and what should she do about that?
So if you want to experience multiple orgasms, there's kind of two main things to overcome. Assuming you have the energy for it, assuming your partner is game and everyone's on board with continuing the sexual experience, the two physiological things you need to overcome are the refractory period and hypersensitivity of the genitals. So those are the two things we're going to target here. In order to separate ejaculation from orgasm, it takes practice for people with penises. And this practice is a little beyond the scope of this podcast, but we do have a complete step-by-step guide to doing that that's included in the Foreplay Mastery course. So if you're interested in this skill and you want homework, if you want step-by-step practices to learn how to separate ejaculation from orgasm, definitely check out the Foreplay Mastery course, get the Guide to Ejaculation Control, and you can learn how to have non-ejaculatory orgasms. Many traditions do this in order to preserve the ejaculation and the life force energy of that ejaculation, but the happy side effect to this practice is you can learn how to have orgasms and the orgasmic climax, that sensation of an orgasm, without ejaculating, which then prevents the refractory period from kicking in, which then allows you to continue your sexual experience. So this is the key to male multiple orgasms, is learning how to separate ejaculation from orgasm. The refractory period is really interesting because science still doesn't for certain know what causes it.
And what we do know about the refractory period is that it can last anywhere from 10 seconds to 24 hours. And as men age, it tends to last longer.
So in brief, the two main theories about the refractory period is that it's either caused by the hormone oxytocin and prolactin, which are set off during orgasm, and that this causes a repression of the hormone dopamine, which is responsible for sexual arousal. So the idea there is basically you've had your orgasm, your body triggers a series of hormones that make you feel good and cozy and bonded to your partner, the job is done, and now you rest. The other theory is a little bit more complicated, but it has to do with the peripheral autonomic feedback mechanism. And the idea here is that the pressure released after an ejaculation lessens the pressure on the seminal vesicles in the tubing of the ejaculatory process, and that this triggers an autonomic nervous system series of events that causes arousal to be shut down. And I think this is the one they need to do. If I was funding scientific research, I would go here, because in all of the anecdotes I hear, it's the ejaculation that sets off the refractory period. I've talked to a lot of men who have explored ejaculation control that can have orgasm after orgasm after orgasm. Some guys don't ejaculate for years, and they have really intense sexual practices, and they finish their erotic experience feeling super energized, really charged up, and without that drowsy sensation that comes after an ejaculation. So for a lot of guys, they use this as kind of a erotic power technique to really raise energy in their body and finish an erotic experience feeling super energized instead of drowsy and lazy. So I think it's worth exploring. And while the universities are not doing the scientific research, we can do the research in our own bodies, share our stories, and start coming up with better ideas of what works for different people.
And that's why I love hearing from you guys when we talk about these techniques. Nothing makes me happier than when I get reports from your bedroom. And when I hear guys say, I went through the ejaculation control course, it's taken 6 months, I'm in a totally new place. Because the other benefit, which we didn't mention with ejaculation control, is usually your erection stays as well. So you can have orgasm after orgasm and have an erection that whole time. And there's another conversation here about the fact that you don't have to have an erection to be a good lover, blah, blah, blah. But a lot of guys like having a hard cock for a longer time and being able to extend their erotic experience, either alone or with a partner. And really, it's about gaining more information and control over your ejaculatory process. So it doesn't feel like it's something that happens to you. It's something you feel like you're choosing and something you're kind of in deliberate control of. So I want to hear about your experience, Charlotte, with prolonging erections and delaying ejaculation in a second. We're going to take a break for a word from our sponsor. We want to thank Cocoon for sponsoring this podcast. Cocoon is a free web browser, you know, like Chrome, Firefox, or Internet Explorer, that solves three separate problems all in one. Cocoon gives you absolute privacy, total security, and global accessibility. The truth is, websites are constantly tracking your actions and selling this information to the highest bidder. This includes what you look at, what you buy, what you read, how you engage on social media, and yes, what porn you look at. This browser, Cocoon, is the only solution for complete and total privacy. Even your kids won't be able to outsmart it. So no matter what you're into, get total peace of mind with Cocoon. Go to getcocoon.com/edu for your free download. That's getcocoon.com/edu and download Cocoon for free.
Sounds awesome and super useful.
I've definitely started using it. And on future episodes, we're going to talk about online privacy and porn and the difference between secrecy and privacy, because we don't want you to be ashamed of what you're looking at. But most of us don't want people knowing what we're looking at, especially if those people are our kids.
Yeah, that's the most important
part. If you share a computer or if you use a computer at work to look at porn once in a while, you want all of that to be safe. Cocoon is a new browser that's really bringing a solution finally to this space and giving you permission to have online privacy. Okay, so getcocoon.com/edu for online privacy. And now, back to multiple orgasms. So you did erotic massage with your hands, full body massage plus cock massage for years. This was your job.
Yes.
And you became a master of hand jobs. What did you learn about ejaculation control through that process?
I felt like I could support men in prolonging their arousal by looking for the cues of when they were getting to that point of no return. So I feel like I got to really learn that with men that I obviously wasn't partners with. They were new people often, not always. So I think it's really valuable. Partners can learn to support men in this experience by learning their cues that they're getting close to orgasm.
So when you say cues for ejaculatory inevitability, which is the term, what are some of those cues? Because a guy can learn how to say, I think I'm going to come. But there's also things that happen in the penis and the perineum that tell you that a guy is getting close to ejaculation. What do you look for?
Some of the cues for men's ejaculation are around their breathing, their tightening of their chest or tightening of any muscles in the body, the penis getting harder.
Which is a subtle thing.
It's very
subtle. It might
already
be hard, but then there's an additional swelling that happens.
Yeah.
And you can learn to feel that.
Mm,
yeah.
I think it's also partly energetic, though. And then that's a harder thing to explain. But it is, there's like a slight shift in their energy and their, in their body. So it's really about observing their whole body, their breath, their musculature, any signs of increased tension, what the cock is doing. And
usually there's also a fluttering of muscular contractions that precedes the contractions of ejaculation. And that's the point that men can really learn how to identify and then switch gears, right? So each man has to learn for himself what these cues of ejaculatory inevitability are. And then you can learn how to, just at that moment,
or slightly before,
yeah, switch gears. And if you miss that moment, you might ejaculate. And that's not a failure. Enjoy it. Don't get hard on yourself. Ha ha ha. But you can then learn how to just back up just a little bit before you dive off that cliff. And what does that switching gears look like? So if you wanted to, because the truth is you had hour-long sessions.
Yeah.
And some men would have ejaculations in 10 minutes. And then what are you going to do for the rest of the hour? So part of your job was orchestrating this erotic experience to fill the hour that they've paid for. This is the benefit of being a professional, as you learn professional-grade skills. And now she's bringing it to you folks here on the podcast. What a gift. So how do you switch gears? So you're giving the guy a hand job, or maybe at home they're having intercourse or doing oral sex. What does it mean to switch gears and be able to prolong this state of arousal and delay the ejaculation?
So there are many things you could do at that point. What I was doing when they were on the table, and my favorite thing to do, is to shift gears to full body massage. So they're lying face up, and then you take your hands away from the cock and move them up and down the leg, move them over their chest and heart area, down, a lot of sweeping along the body. So you're taking all of this turn on and this arousal and spreading it in a way all over the body. You're bringing their awareness through your hands to the rest of their body. And what this does is that when you get ready to finally have an orgasm and ejaculation, in this case, you have a bigger, more powerful orgasm because you've spread all of this turn on all through their body. So it becomes more of a full body orgasm, merely because your attention has been returned all over their body. It's not staying just in their genitals.
So this idea of spreading out sensation, moving your touch away from the genitals, also goes into the second issue with multiple orgasm, which is hypersensitivity of the genitals. So usually the penis or the clitoris, after you've reached a peak of arousal and you want to continue, whether you've had an orgasm and you want to go for multiple orgasms, or you've hit a plateau and want to edge, which we talked about in the last episode too, if you've hit a plateau and want to prevent orgasm so you can ride it out to the next stage. So a lot of people at this stage, they are super aroused, they're on the edge of climax, they can't necessarily take more direct clitoral or penis stimulation. They get hypersensitive. A lot of people, just after orgasm, it almost feels irritating to continue to touch. And this is the stage I think a lot of people don't know what to do because they've been focusing so much attention on building arousal and licking the clitoris just so, or stroking the penis in just that right way. And then you want to continue your sexual experience, but you don't want to keep doing what you're doing. So this is the idea of spreading out to full body touch or going to broader genital touch. And this is one of the pleasure mechanics rules at work. So one of our rules for genital touch is you start broad and then you focus in as you build arousal, meaning you want to touch the whole body first and then start moving towards the genital area and then touch the genitals in big, broad strokes, warming up the whole area. And then you start zeroing in on the penis or the clitoris. And then you find those very particular spots that are the most arousing and you focus sensation there. So this broad to focus idea then gets reversed and you go from focused to broad stimulation. So on a vulva and a clitoris, this might mean cupping your entire hand over her vulva. And that just continues the contact and the pressure and the warmth of your hand. And you might use your other hand to touch her breasts or her belly or go up and give her kisses. On a penis, you can hold both the penis with both hands and like hold it tight, but not give it a lot of friction. And what this does is it stays connected. So your hands are still connecting with their genitals. The arousal is still circulating, but you're not giving it extra stimulation. Then while you're doing this broad genital contact, the receiver, the person who's being super aroused, goes into a big, relaxed breath. So as big of a breath that you can manage, nice and relaxed, take all the breath in, let it go, and just start breathing. And you're circulating that erotic energy around your entire body. You're down-regulating your arousal system, and you're making space to build that next orgasm up again.
So you're really relaxing your body is what that means.
Yeah.
It's like going from this, often people get kind of tense when they're heading towards orgasm, like the muscular tension happens. It's like, oh, but if you just take that pause and breathe deeply, you're really heading your body back into a relaxed state, which is a different state to have an orgasm in.
And then the third skill you add to this is full body movement. So a lot of people, when they're being stimulated, kind of get locked and loaded. They don't move much. And especially at the edge of orgasm, they get very full body tense. Start moving your whole body. Undulate your spine. Move your hips. Roll around and cuddle a little bit. Move into a different position. And just this movement of your body will allow more space to build up arousal again. And then you go back into arousal, and you need to modulate this with communication. And so from that full hand cup over the vulva, you might start just moving it in gentle circles, and then she's breathing, and then you're moving the clitoris a little bit against the pubic bone, and then she's breathing, and then you're zeroing in on those spots again. So again, you're going from broad to focused and building up arousal again. And this is the cycle you play with. Arouse, orgasm, relax. Arouse, orgasm, relax. And you can ride this endlessly until you both feel exhausted. And sometimes the giver hits their edge before the receiver's done. This happens with Charlotte and I all the time because she has an endless capacity for orgasms. She's the most multi-orgasmic woman I've ever known. And if we're both in a good mood, we can just keep riding it. And sometimes I have to be like, baby, I'm done. I'm spent. And sometimes you continue to masturbate and have one more orgasm to finish it off. Or some, you know, we play that out in different ways. But each partner gets to have their boundaries and limitations. And you find the right end point. I'm curious for you, as someone who is so multi-orgasmic, do you often find that orgasms get less and less intense as you have more? Or do they build up in intensity? Or does it really just depend?
It really depends. Sometimes it can kind of be all about the same level of intensity. Sometimes it increases in intensity. I don't think it ever goes down in intensity. But it just, they all kind of are a little bit different. And it just, yeah.
And when do you feel done? Mm. Like, I think one of the fears about multiple orgasms is kind of the idea of being insatiable and never done. Like, when do you feel satisfied? Is there just a point in your body that you feel saturated with pleasure?
Yeah, there's a point where I feel like, oh, okay, now I could be complete. And sometimes it's like, I could keep going, but I could complete. And sometimes it's like, okay, now I'm done. Uh-huh. I finished it off well. Or yeah, so there's a range, but there is a knowing in the body when I feel ready to be done. Mm-hmm. It is not an insatiable.
I use that word for you sometimes because I do feel like you have this endless capacity for pleasure, but it does have an edge sometimes of feeling negative, like you're not a black hole for pleasure. And this maybe is another podcast episode too, because I think sometimes there are people who can take and take and take and never feel satisfied. Mm. But what I find with you is you have an endless capacity, but you also appreciate every drop put in your bucket.
You know? I'll take whatever I can get.
Yeah, and especially when I was sick, there were times when our intimacy was just hugs and touch and loving words, and I never felt like I was failing you.
Right.
And so in your insatiable capacity for pleasure, there's also a lot of gratitude and receiving it gracefully. And so I think that's another attitude to bring towards the exploration of multiple orgasms, is not to make it a competition, not to be like, I had 9 orgasms last time, let's go for 10. Because this time, as you said, 6 might feel right, or 2. Multiple is any multiple of 1. So 2 orgasms, and even built into this is 2 orgasms in what time span counts as multiple orgasms.
In one session, I think, is the idea, but...
But that might be an hour apart, and those are actually 2 separate physiological events. What we're looking at really specifically here is the ability to ride your arousal into the next wave of arousal without completely coming down and going into this rest period.
Mm.
And being able to train your body and your genitals to receive more pleasure and feel more arousal. Because a lot of people still have psychological barriers to the idea of receiving more pleasure. It means I'm selfish, I'm greedy, my partner doesn't want to take that much time with me, they'll get bored going down on me for an hour. We have all these stories we tell ourselves about our willingness to receive pleasure, stimulation, sensation, our lover's attention. And that is, I think, the conversation that exploring multiple orgasm unlocks. More importantly than having many orgasms all at once, it's the conversation and the generosity it opens between you and your partner to say, no, I'm good, let's keep going.
I am worthy of pleasure. I'm worthy of your time and worship and attention. And I think that is really significant, especially for a lot of women, of course for men too. But I think there is a real emotional and mental block there sometimes, which can be truly undone in a series of conversations with your partner if you guys both are willing to go there and just talk about that honestly. Yeah. It totally makes sense that for some of us it is uncomfortable to receive so much time and energy and attention in this private area, and having fears and concerns and talking about them is a wonderful solution.
Because it usually turns out your partner is more than happy to give generously and go down on you for an hour if you are really enjoying it and are in it and are getting aroused and showing them that arousal and having fun together. Often, there's more than enough to go around.
Often men want nothing more than to have women experience profound pleasure in their presence. I mean, often it is one of the highest joys they can experience, is to feel like, of course, that's partly about feeling like they're a good lover, but it's also about seeing and experiencing women being in that state. And this is why your attitude as a woman when you're receiving pleasure is so important. If we can be appreciative and enjoying ourselves and not get into the mind space of feeling frustrated or feeling like your body isn't responding in the way you want it to, or any kind of negative spiraling thoughts, which many of us can get into in that state. So if that is starting to happen to you and you're going into a space you don't want to be, just really focus on your breath, really focus on the sensations in your body.
It's also about creativity and having more tools in your toolbox, because there are times your mouth gets sore from giving oral sex for too long.
For sure.
That happens to everyone. And so if you can supplement oral sex with really amazing fingering or handjob techniques, then you have another tool to keep building that arousal while you give your jaw a break. Or if intercourse is feeling exhausting and neither one of you wants to be on top because you've been riding for too long, then you can go into hand play or oral sex and keep building that arousal. You need to have multiple sexual skills to prolong arousal, to have multiple orgasms, because no one can do one thing for too long. And to be able to seamlessly move between these skills and be able to communicate of, you know, this isn't feeling right, let's try this instead, without that breaking the erotic energy between you, is crucial.
Yes, if one of you gets into the space of feeling annoyed or resentful of like, oh, this is taking too long, then just shift activities so that you keep your body comfortable, keep your body comfortable, because then it becomes fun again. As soon as it's a drag, figure out something else. Go to what is a solution? How would I like to turn this person on now? because, yeah, you don't need to be frustrated. You just need to move your body and readjust.
And all these skills are in the Foreplay Mastery course. And we name it Foreplay because that's how most people think of skills like hand jobs and fingering and oral sex. But for us, it's all fair game for sex at any point in the erotic event. It might be before intercourse. It might be after intercourse. It might be in between intercourse. We think these are all different ways of using your body and stimulating one another for high states of arousal, and you get to fill your toolbox with all of these sexual skills so you can confidently have a number of ways you know you can stimulate your partner. Included in Foreplay Mastery is breast stimulation and ways of touching the nipple, so you don't have one way of stimulating her breasts, you have 20 ways. And so if one isn't working, you just move on to 2, 3, and 12. And you get to know her favorites. And this is, again, about being a choreographer of arousal. If you only have one trick, that's not a very interesting song. Mm. But if you can bring in all of these different skills and then weave them together to meet where you're both at, you never have sex in the same way twice. And that's how sex stays interesting and stays convenient. In a way, right? Like, if one of you is tired, then you have things you can do to stimulate the other. If one of you has a broken arm, no problem. You can do other things, right? Like, life throws us all sorts of curveballs, so we need to have a lot of different sexual skills if we want sex to be interesting and accessible in all different states of how our body and our moods and our days have gone.
It's just having an erotic vocabulary so you can put it together.
Yes. A toolbox, a vocabulary, an orchestra of sexual skills.
A palette. So you can make art.
More spices in the spice cabinet. This is a metaphor orgy. All right. So I think we have covered multiple orgasms. I would love to hear from you as you explore your own experience of multiple orgasms and what this looks like for you in your erotic life. And be in touch with us at pleasuremechanics.com, or even better, go to patreon.com/pleasuremechanics. Pledge $5 a month is what we're asking for to become part of our inner circle, our closest community, where we can communicate with you on this private, secure platform, where you can show your support for Pleasure Mechanics and the work we're doing. And the goal here is to gather enough support so we can start outsourcing some of the more technical aspects of our business and dedicate more of our time to bringing you the sex education resources you most want and that you're aching for and that can help the world be a more pleasurable place. So patreon.com/pleasuremechanics. We will link it up there. And this was our first episode after over 260 episodes where we have sponsors coming on board to show their support for their show and bring some extra resources to us so we can do more great work for you. And you can continue to listen for free if you want, no problem. We love having you aboard. But if you want an ad-free version of this podcast and you want bonus episodes and you want to be part of our community.
And our book club, which we're really excited about.
And our book club with Esther Perel, world-leading sex educator and therapist with some of the most brilliant ideas, I think, right now. She's going to come on the show soon. And if you're part of the book club on Patreon, you can help shape that interview and ask your questions. And we're going to have fun with it. I'm super excited. Thank you to everyone who's come to Patreon and showed your support already. We are so thrilled. And we're looking forward to getting to know you and to serving you more. Patreon.com/pleasuremechanics. pleasuremechanics.com. You can always find us. We're here for you. We love hearing from you. And have fun exploring your arousal and seeing what's possible for you in your body, solo or with a partner. All right.
Lovely.
I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We are the Pleasure Mechanics.
Wishing you a lifetime of pleasure.